But before I get started, I need to apologize to you because I am going to butcher some names this morning. You know it don't roll off my tongue. And yes, that means we're going to the Old Testament. So take your Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 19. 2 Samuel chapter 19. As far as announcements go, we got one announcement. Tonight, come back to services at 6 o'clock. And tonight, Brother Paul and Brother Bob are going to present a slideshow of their trip to Israel tonight. So come back tonight and we'll see what they saw while they were in Israel. So I challenge you, be here tonight. You'll enjoy it. I've been fortunate enough to be over there twice in my lifetime, and I pray God will give me one more opportunity. But when you just see it with your own eyes for yourself, it's amazing. I'll never forget when we landed there in Tel Aviv. I got off the plane, and I couldn't help but have a sense I belong here. And then when we flew out of there, couldn't help but feel like I'm leaving home. Because it is home for those of us that are in God's kingdom. So is everybody in 2 Samuel chapter 19? All right. Let's begin with verse 15. And it says, "And so the king returned." Oh, please stand. Yes. "And so the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. And Shemaiah, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him, and they went over Jordan before the king. And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shemaiah the son of Gera fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan and said unto the king, 'Let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king.' But Abishai the son of Zeruiah answered and said, 'Shall not Shemaiah be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?' And David said, 'What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah, that you should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall any man be put to death this day in Israel? Or do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? Therefore the king said unto Shemaiah, Thou shalt not die, and the king swear unto him. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. It came to pass, when he had come to Jerusalem to meet the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he has slandered thy servant unto my lord the king, but my lord the king is an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right there of my I have yet to cry and mourn to the king?' And the king said unto him, Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, Thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him take all, forasmuch as my lord the king is come again in peace into his own house. Barzillai, the Gileadite, told you, come down from Rogalim, and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. He had provided the king a substance while he lay in Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, Come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. Barzillai said unto the king, How long have I to live that I should go up with the king into Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old. Can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then shall thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Chinnam, let him go over with my lord the king and do with him what shall seem good unto thee. King answered, and Chinnam shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which seems good unto thee. Whatsoever thou shalt require me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan, and when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him and returned into his own place. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chilham went on with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel. Behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said unto the king, Why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen thee away? And have brought the king and his household and all David's men with him over Jordan. And all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, Because the king is near of kin to us, wherefore then be ye angry for this matter? Have we eaten at all the king's cost, or hath he given us any gift? And the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, We have 10 parts in the king. We have also more right in David than ye. Why then did you despise us, that our advice should not be the first had in bringing back our king? And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. One more verse, I promise, chapter 20, verse 1. And there happened to be there a man of Belial, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, We have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel. Let's pray. Father, I love you and praise you. Thank you for this time you've given me. Stand before your congregation and break forth the bread of life. I just pray now, Lord, you'll give me the words to say. Cause me to remember, Lord, those things that I've studied. Bring them to my memory and let me say those things that uplift you, bring honor and glory to you, Lord. Let me preach with boldness and authority, and also may our worship be in spirit and in truth. Lord, may your people be fed this morning the word of God. May our hearts be challenged by your word. And Lord, if there's one here today that knows not Christ and the free pardon of sin, that's our prayer and our desire, that they'll come before it's eternally too late. Thank you for each home represented. You heard the prayer request spoken this morning. We just pray, Lord, that you would intercede and your will would be done with each of these requests. And above all, we pray that, Lord, you will embrace us with your presence in our service this morning. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now, a lot of you are saying, man, what does any of that have to do with the Lord? Well, little background. You'll notice the king is on his way back. You see, he had to leave Israel because of the rebellion of his son Absalom. Now that Absalom is dead, he's coming back to Jerusalem. The king is coming back home where he should be at his rightful place. Now I want you to notice those five names that I had trouble with pronouncing. Those five men reacted differently to the coming of the king. And you know, we know there's another king. The Word of God tells us is coming back. His name is Jesus. And you know, before he left us some precious promises. And one of those promises was, listen, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now that's a promise. So we know that the king is going to come. Just like the king was going back, King David was going back to take his rightful place on the throne of Israel. King Jesus is coming back to take up his rightful place as King of kings and Lord of lords of this whole earth. So, there's five men that he comes across that day, and each of them had a different reaction to the king. And that's what I want to speak to you about. And I've got four little top water points. Ain't going to be long because we got food. And I know I can't keep your attention anyway. Amen? I couldn't keep your attention after 20 minutes because you're going to be thinking about, what are we going to eat for lunch? I don't know. I saw something on the table, but it looked good. So give me 20, 25 minutes. Wow. You might want to give me 30 minutes. Anyways, I'll get done when the Lord says shut up, I'll shut up, okay? But my point is this. How are you going to greet the king? That's my question. You see, not everybody was excited that David was coming back. And you know, there's people in the world today claim to be Christians. They're not excited about the Lord returning. I've even had some Christians tell me, you know what? You know, I love the Lord and I know I get to go to heaven, but I want to live my life, and you're not going to live till we get up there. We're existing is all we're doing here. We're just existing. True life is in Jesus when we're gathered home in glory. Amen. So I want to give you a couple things. First person I want us to look at is, look at verse 17. There's a man that greeted the king on his way back. His name was Ziba. He was a servant, the house of Saul. He was, in other words, he was supposed to be looking after Saul's descendants. Of course, that descendant was who? Mephibosheth. But anyway, Ziba, when David was exiled, would carry supplies, food and whatnot, and he met the needs of the king. And you say, well, that's a good thing. He's taking care of the king. Well, yeah, but you see, he was worried, Brother Ciro, about the king's returning because he had done something that wasn't right. What he did is he swindled Mephibosheth out of his land. So what does Ziba picture? He pictures someone that claims to be one thing. In reality, there's something else. Kind of sounds like a hypocrite. Y'all ever heard that word before? Hypocrite, oh yeah, there's lots of those, isn't there? Lots of them. And a hypocrite is what? A pretender. Someone that says one thing out one side of his mouth and does just the opposite out the other side. So he was kind of worried about what's the king going to think. I'd have been worried too. After all, David took in Mephibosheth. David treated him as his own son. So he was kind of worried, and that's what he pictures. You see, there's a lot of people that claim they love the Lord, and, oh, he's the greatest thing there is. But in the way they live, because they're not surrendered to him, it's their way, it's living life the way I want to, guess what? They're lying to themselves. Now, I don't know a hypocrite's heart. You don't know my heart. I don't know your heart. Only the Lord does. But what they need to remember, one of these days, the king has promised to come back. One of these days, we're going to stand before the King. And if you are saved and you are acting hypocritical, just be mindful you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen? That's where the child of God is judged. Not for his sins. That was taken care of 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary. But for our service, our works for God. So here is Ziba. He's a little worried. I don't blame him. You say, well, can't I do as I please? Can't I live my life as I please? I've had that thrown up to me before in my ministry. I've had people say, well, I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. I can live any old way I want to. Yes, you can, but be mindful you're accountable to God. And not only that, the question is not, can you live any old way you want to? The question is this, why would you want to live any old way you want to? You see, with salvation comes a changed life. And when you are truly changed, your heart and your desires is for God. It's not what you want. So, he was worried. Don't blame him. But there's another guy. What was his name? Well, it was Shemaiah, right? Remember him? He was someone that was also worried about the king coming back. Because, you see, when David was exiled and he had to leave Israel because of his conflict with Absalom, he was cursing him as he left the city of Jerusalem. He was going back just cursing the king. I would have been worried too. There's people out in the world that mock Jesus, deny Jesus, and they think they're not going to have to stand before him one day and give an account. But what you need to understand, for the Christian, judgment seat of Christ. For the lost, the great white throne judgment. You see, we're all going to stand before God. Either as saved sinners or lost sinners, but we're all standing before God to give an account. You see, some people will say, well, I don't really deny the Lord. I mean, I know He's real. I know He exists. I go to church sometimes. But in your non-commitment to the Lord, your life is denying His Lordship. Who He is. Oh, no, no. Yes, yes. So, when the king returns, there's going to be people worried. But listen, you're under the sound of my voice and you're not saved. If I were you, I would call upon the name of the Lord. I would accept Christ's sacrifice on the cross of Calvary for my sins. He took my place in your place. I would accept His sacrifice so that I might be saved. Call upon the Lord before He comes. Because listen, this is what Jesus said. If Jesus said it, you better pay attention. In an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Just as a thief in the night, when you least expect, boom. So we'll be without excuse. Now, we find another man that had a different reaction to the king's return, and that was Mephibosheth. Now, the Bible says that Mephibosheth didn't trim his beard, didn't take a bath, didn't wash his clothes, and yes, he had to have been ripe. Amen? Had to have been ripe. But there is a reason why he didn't do that. And that reason was because he was mourning that the king was gone. He was mourning. And why wouldn't he mourn, you see? They're alike. Understand. David took him in. You see, David had the right, because he was a descendant of Saul, to have him killed. But because of his relationship with Mephibosheth's father, Jonathan, He took him in, and he was a crippled. But he took him in and sat him at his table and treated him like he was one of his own sons. Kind of sounds like what Jesus did for me and you. You see, you and I were crippled with sin. But he took us unto himself, and because of the mighty blood of Jesus and the sacrifice on the cross, guess what? We're sons and daughters of the King. So Mephibosheth is there. And again, he's been waiting for the King to return. How many of you are waiting for the King to return? Amen? Oh, there's nothing that goes through my mind that would sound any sweeter than that trumpet to sound. And we hear a voice from heaven saying, "Come up hither!" Oh my goodness, there couldn't be nothing greater that could happen to any of us besides our salvation than when that trumpet sounds and we're called to be with the Lord. And there's nothing greater than to realize what Jesus did when He died on the cross for us. You see, He forgave us of every sin. And He has given us salvation. He's given us a home in heaven. He's given us life here, and it's supposed to be abundant life. If it's not abundant in your life today, that ain't on Him. That's on you. Because you haven't surrendered and submitted yourself fully to the King. When you are fully submitted and surrendered and obedient, that's abundant life, because it means that God's hand is upon you and He is going to bless you in every way. And He does it. But now, notice, kind of seems a little unfair when Mephibosheth starts telling him about what happened to him, how he was swindled out of his land. Kind of seems like the King kind of reacted a little gruff. But you see, this is what I love about Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth says, "Hey, let him all have it all. All that matters is your back." What's he saying? He's simply saying, "You know what? As long as I got you, I got everything I need." And I want you to understand, if you have Jesus this morning, you have everything that you need. It didn't matter. You know why Mephibosheth loved David? Because of what David did for him. Do you love the Lord, the King, this morning? It should be because of what He did for you this morning. So, we have one, we have a couple that are worried. We've got Mephibosheth. He's just waiting. You see, he mourned that the King was gone. He couldn't wait for the King to get back. What about you, brother, sister? I can't wait for the King to get back. That's what gets me up of a morning. That's what keeps me going, because it could be this very day He comes back. But I'm here to tell you, I need to be waiting for Him. But not only should I be waiting for His return, but I should be working while He's away. See, the next fellow we run into is, look at verse 24, or I'm sorry, 31. Notice Barzillai, the Gileadite. See, I can't pronounce these words very good. Y'all laugh. It's okay. But notice with me, this man came out to meet the King as he's coming back, King David. Now, this man's 80 years old, but the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about him other than he is called great. If you go to chapter 17, we ain't got time to turn there, but if you go to 17, you'll find out that while David was exiled away from the throne, that he met the needs of the King. He carried supplies and things back and forth to make sure the King had everything that he needed. So what is that a picture of? Well, it's a picture of someone who is faithful. It is someone who is working till the King returns. And now that King David is on his way back, he comes up and he greets him. Now the man's 80 years old. So some of you golden agers, I was going to say something else, but I'll get in trouble with you. Some of you golden agers, 80 is not too old to keep serving God. In fact, you and I will never get too old to serve God. Even in our golden years, even though these old bodies slow down, believe me, I'm getting there. The mind gets a little slower, believe me, I'm there. I want you to understand, I can still serve the Lord. You see, Barzillia, Barzillai, however you want to call it, is a picture of someone working until the Lord returns. The saddest thing today is we have too many Christians that are AWOL when it comes to serving the Lord. AWOL. Nowhere to be. Kind of reminds me of those divers' diseases that Jesus dealt with every day. You know, there's divers' diseases in the church, God's people. You want me to name a few? One is Sundayitis. Y'all ever been inflicted with Sundayitis? In Latin, it's called mortis sabbaticus. What that means is, it's amazing. Every Sunday morning, this illness comes upon us. Especially when we first get up on Sunday morning, and as that clock keeps getting closer and closer to Sunday school and worship, we are just engulfed in this illness. But listen, it gets a whole lot better after 12 o'clock. But then, about 5 o'clock, you feel that illness coming on again. Because it's close to 6. But praise the Lord, after 6 o'clock, you get to feeling better all over again because by Monday morning, you're ready to go to work. But then, on Wednesday, there's a relapse. Amen. You know where I'm coming from? How about black tongue? You ever heard of that? Black tongue, it's where people never have anything good to say. You ever run across anybody with black tongue? Yeah. Never have anything good to say. How about sore eyes? I run across people all the time with sore eyes because they never see any good in anything anybody does in the church. That's a disease. And lots of folks are affected by it. How about spiritual malnutrition? Let me tell you what the symptoms of spiritual malnutrition is. It's simply this. The reason you can't walk with God like you should is because you don't spend time on your knees and in the Word of God. Amen? And then, of course, there's blue bruising. And what I mean by that is folks can't handle when the preacher preaches the hard Word of God. And every time you preach about sin, no, that's not right. You preach about obedience. Oh, I don't want to hear that. You touch them and they yell out, ow! Ow! Blue bruising. There's also a disease out there that affects the church, Baptists, called cirrhosis of the giver. Amen? Cirrhosis of the giver. You see, Just the area. Just areas of the body will it touch. It's called the area of the wallet and checkbook. You see, we don't have money to give to the Lord and His kingdom work, but we do have money to entertain ourselves. cirrhosis of the giver. And then there is literally spiritual paralysis. See, spiritual paralysis affects those, not really physically, because they're able to come to church when the doors are open. They're able to go fishing to the lake. They're able to do anything they want to do. But when it comes to working in the church, asking them to do something in the church, they're paralyzed. You can hear them say, get somebody else. Y'all are quiet. Truth is truth. I want to encourage those of you that are faithful, that still remain in the fight. Keep on standing for God. Keep on working for God, because one day the King is going to come back and He is going to bless you for your faithfulness. Doesn't matter who quits. Doesn't matter who's laid by the side. You just keep living and fighting and serving the Lord and He's going to bless you. Now, this man, 80 years old, is still living and serving the King. Because he took to heart what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 about a steward must be found faithful. You say, well, that's for you clergy. That's for you workers in the church. That doesn't apply to me. We're all stewards with the things of God once we become born again. We're all stewards. Sorry. That's just part of it. Worried, waiting, working when the King returns. See, all of us are going to be in one of those categories. One final one. The last guy I read. Look at chapter 20 and verse 1. Name was Sheba. Bible says he's a man of Belial. That means he was wicked. He was a wicked man. He was a rebel. You see, he wasn't delighted at all that King David was on his way back to take his position on the throne. You see, he tried to get Israel to go against David. And the thing is this. When the generals got word of the insurrection that he was trying to get, thank you. Hey, I can't say nothing. It's happened to me. I understand. But when they found out about him wanting to overthrow David on the throne, his generals took care of business. They had him. That's what they did back then. We don't do that today. Amen. No, we give them appeals. They stay in prison on death row for 30 and 40 years. Back then, no. If you called insurrection, you were treasonous, you were dead. That was. But my point is this. He was without mercy. He was without salvation. He was without grace. Because he was not a follower of the King. Now, some of you may be saying, well, I know about God, and I'm not His enemy. Listen, I'm going to be straight with you. I'm never going to lie to you, because I have to stand and give an account to my Savior. I'm going to tell you the truth. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you are the enemy of God. Now, you won't hear that in a lot of places. But you'll hear it here at Lone Mountain. Because that is the truth. You're an enemy. Unless you fall at the feet of Christ, confess your sins and ask Him for mercy and ask Him to be your Savior, you're going to die without and you're going to go to hell. What the Bible says. Think about that. This man wanted nothing to do with Jesus. He wanted to overthrow Jesus. There's people out there today that would like nothing more than to overthrow the Lord Jesus Christ. They're already working to try to do that with His church. I'm just going to say it. Except they repent, they're going to perish. And by the way, ain't nobody kicking Jesus off His throne. Everybody understand that? Ain't nobody, there's no power on earth that can remove the Lord Jesus Christ from His throne. So, don't worry about that. But, if you don't know the Savior, then you're God's enemy. But you can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. So, we've met five men that responded to the king's return differently. They worried. They waited. They worked. And they were without. And my question to you this morning is, where are you? You see, it's a proven fact. Yet in a little while, he that shall come will come and will not delay his coming. You see, he is coming. But how are you going to react to the return of the king? Not everybody's going to be happy. But I'm going to tell you, I'm as happy as a pig in mire because I know when he returns, guess what? Things are going to be well with our souls. How about you? Now, decision time. It's decision time. It's time to make up your mind. Are you ready to receive the King? Or are you afraid to meet? I'll tell you, He wants you to make a decision. Doesn't want you to put it off. Satan, the devil wants you to put it off. But the Lord doesn't want you to put it off. It's decision time right here and right now. Do not let this little old topwater message be a witness against you at the great white throne judgment. You say, Brother John, you mean... Listen, when you appear before the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment, and I'm talking about lost people, when you appear before Him and those books are opened and your name's not in it, the Bible says you're going to be cast into the eternal lake of fire. And understand me, you will throughout all eternity recall every sermon you ever heard, every song you ever heard. Every time someone witnessed to you, gave you a tract, you're going to recall that throughout all eternity. That's where your torment's going to be. Yeah, it's going to be bad. It's going to be hot. Where the worm dies not, fire's not quenched. Not a good place. But the true torment is going to be in knowing you had every opportunity to miss being separated from God, a place called hell, and you just wouldn't make the decision. So it's a decision. Where will you be when the King returns? Only you can answer. So I challenge you. child of God, keep serving faith. Keep on waiting. Because He's coming. And it could be today. Wouldn't it be nice if we were all assembled in the Lord's house and trumpet sounded? And we went home right here and right now? You say, oh, that won't happen. You can't say that. Because He could come right now. It could be another 1,000 years. I don't think so. But it could be. But He's coming. And the question is, are you ready?
Amen.
If you're not saved, you're not ready. But you can make a decision and be ready. So where will you be when the King returns to us?